young people that are here this morning, and the Bible does say to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart. They may be young. I remember when I was a young boy, I remember real young. I mean, I walked from my house to a church on Columbia Avenue. I heard the singing down there where we lived. And I walked up there, I remember the great big concrete steps. And I walked up there and there was a man at the door. And he stuck a hand out at me and it swallowed my hand up. He was a red-headed man. He said, "Come on in, young man. We're glad to have you." Now, buddy, that stuck in my mind. I was probably less than 10 years old. I walked up there that day. But I'll tell you what, God has been working in my life. It was at the age of 34 years old that He finished that work. But I'm glad He started as a young boy. I remember me and my mother, Carolyn, kneeling down there by the bedside. And I still remember me and my mother, we prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It was a time of war. We prayed that prayer every night. We said, "God bless Mama, God bless Daddy, God bless Uncle and Aunt, Grandma, Grandpa." We went down the list. And I got in bed. When I got in bed, I have to admit, even as a young boy, I thought about when I closed my eyes, where I'd wake up if I died. You ever thought about that? I know we got up this morning, we just took for granted, we'll get up tomorrow, might not. I'm sure, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I'm sure Todd thought he had more days on the calendar. I'm sure the young girl we prayed for last night, 15 years old, thought she had more days on her calendar. But the Bible said, fools make a boast of tomorrow. Bible said we know not what a day may bring. It said our life's but a vapor here for a little while, then vanisheth away. There's somebody having a funeral today. There'll be somebody have a funeral tomorrow. That's the most certain thing in life is death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And after that, the judgment. Two most certain things in life. One of them is you're going to die. And the second one is you're going to be judged. You're not going to get out of either one of those appointments. But I'll tell you this morning, I'm glad to see the young people here this morning. Peyton called me this morning and asked me Melissa's phone number. And I still got to pick her up, and that's a blessing. And I would have called Jessica, but she'd already. Last Sunday, I guess it was Brenda told me they was going to come together today, and that's a blessing. But I've been glad to went out and picked anyone up. Brought them to the house of the Lord today. Good to have all that are here. Not only the young, but good to have everyone here this morning. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody got a special on your heart this morning. We'll certainly give place to that. And if you don't, we'll be opening our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 2 this morning. Very timely message. I will share some things with you this morning. I'm not a dumb dog that won't bark. I may share too much. I don't know. But I'll share with you some things this morning. They'll be voting this coming Friday in the Supreme Court. For those of you that don't know, the Supreme Court's only job is to interpret the Constitution. That's it. That's the only job they have. But they're going to go beyond their job, and they're going to vote this Friday on whether same-sex unions are constitutional or not. And Bill Clinton now says that the DOMA law that he signed is unconstitutional and should be appealed, which means that marriage should only be between one man and one woman like it's supposed to be. But also Hillary Clinton has announced her support of gay marriage, signifying her 2016 run for the presidency. More than 131 Republicans, and I'm talking about Congress members, have submitted their argument that gay and lesbians should be allowed to marry legally. They're not all in office. Some of them are already out of office, but 131 Republican congressmen. Our president has announced that he has evolved in his opinion on same-sex unions and Proposition 8 and DOMA are no longer needed to prevent same-sex unions. For what it's worth, they're going to impose upon preachers to recognize same-sex unions, or else, so I guess I'll get the or else. But the Bible said in Luke 17, verse 20, I'll be preaching in Matthew chapter 2, so don't turn there. But the Bible does say in Luke chapter number 17, talking about the last days, it says in verse number 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even this shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, in the days of Lot, they had uncontrolled homosexual lust. We're just about there. We need some John the Baptist today. They wasn't afraid to rebuke the king when he said, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother Philip's wife. They got him put in prison, got him beheaded, but he never wavered on the preaching, amen. Herod put him in prison for what it's worth, for Herodias, his wife's sake, his brother Philip's wife, his hen-pecked, I guess he roosted on the fill the bed, mind me of my and Pa Kettle. He hid behind his wife. And that's where Herod was. But also to add to that, Janet Napoleano has ordered 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition for Homeland Security, 7,000 assault rifles, and 16,000 MRAP vehicles for policing the streets in America. And what that MRA means, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles. And she says she doesn't have to tell our Congress her reasons for these purchases. I'll tell you right now, the day and hour we're living in, it's a time to be concerned.
Amen.
It's a time to see the writing on the wall. It's a time to see the signs that are all around us. Like I said earlier, the Passover is coming up this coming week. I will tell you this, just like Israel got out of Egypt, the church is going to get out of the worldly Egypt. And Moses is not coming for us, Jesus is. And I'll say like John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Alright, we'll be reading this morning. Matthew chapter number 2, I'll read the whole chapter. It's kind of a lengthy, but I'll read it. I'm really just going to mention two verses there. But I'll read the chapter and you'll get caught up on your Bible reading a little bit. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written by the prophet, talking about Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, and it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come, and men, don't miss this, they didn't come into the stable. And when they were come into the house, understand, the wise men found Jesus not in a stable in the manger, but in a house. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and young and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. When Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither, notwithstanding, don't miss this, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. In this one chapter, two times it's mentioned being warned in a dream. Several times it's mentioned about Joseph receiving a dream. And all through this, and I want to preach today, if I could, if the Lord would help me, on being warned in a dream. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. That by it, Lord, we need to take the most earnest heed, lest at any time we let it slip. And Father, I do believe, dear Father, that this morning this is a very timely message. I believe for such a time as this, we're here. I do believe, dear Father, by the help of the Holy Ghost of God, that you'll be able to pull back the veneer and show us, Lord, eternity as we've never seen it before. I do pray, dear Father, this morning, that our Savior be exalted, and the Word of God be manifested, and the Holy Spirit of God be diligent in the work. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for anything that be said or done today. In Jesus' blessed name we ask it. Amen. These wise men and Joseph were both warned by God in a dream. What about that, Brother Eddie? If you'll read in your Bible, Job chapter 33, verse 14 through 18, you'll read in there that God speaks to men through dreams. You'll read in there He does that to keep them out of hell, and He does it to keep them from death. That's why the wise men were warned. That's why that Joseph was warned. To keep the child Jesus from falling into the hands of Herod. I knew men think they're above God, and men think they can undermine God. But I promise you this, He that sits in the heavens laughs at men. And I tell you what commands men everywhere to repent. And men don't have the upper hand of God. God's got the upper hand of men. And we do well to give praise to the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad God's a gracious God, Brother Melvin. I had a few dreams. William, not too long ago, told me that God gave him a dream. I may not get this exactly right, but I think He gave him a dream about his brother or something like that was going to pass away. I remember it was a man he said was going to pass away. William went to him and pleaded with him. And he wasn't listening, would he, William? And he went ahead and died. You stop and think about that. Put yourself in that place. Somebody comes to you and tells you that you're going to die. Two things you can do. You can dismiss it, disallow it. Or you can earnestly consider what's being told to you. But a lot of people fall in the category that they dismiss it. They don't give it much thought. I'll speak more about that here in a minute. I want to take the Bible, quite a bit of passages here, just to show you how much God speaks through dreams. In Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, Abraham is somewhere he's not supposed to be. When you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, you'll do something you shouldn't do. He told the people of that land that his wife was his sister, Melissa, and the king Amalek took Sarai, Abraham's wife, to be his wife. That night, God warned him in a dream. You know what he said, Bobby? He said, "Thou art but a dead man, for the woman in your bed is a man's wife." You know, Amalek, he's like you and me. He tried to justify himself and say, "Lord, I never touched her." God rebuked him, Brother Melvin. And he said, I withheld thee from touching her. I'm glad God does intervene. I've probably been worse a sinner than I was. I was bad. But I'm glad God does intervene. God told Amalek, He said, "I withheld you from touching her." He said, "That man is a prophet. Restore his wife to him. He'll pray for you and you'll be healed." But God told him in a dream, He said, "Amalek, you're but a dead man, boy. You've done something you ought not have done." Wonder how he knew that. Wonder how he knew he had some man's wife in his bed. Right. If you look at Genesis chapter 31, verse 11 through 12, God said to Jacob in a dream, "I've seen all that Laman has done to you." Laman changed Jacob's wages 10 times. But he never escaped the eye of God. And Jacob may have thought the Lord didn't regard it, but God said, "I've seen it all. I'm going to take care of you, boy." If that wasn't enough, the Bible says that God gave Laban a dream. God told Laban in that dream, "Take heed what you do to Jacob, boy." He put the fear of God in Laban. Laban was coming, and boy, he was going to make it hard on old Jacob. I'm glad, praise God, I got somebody on my side. I'm glad I got a friend in high places, amen. And God told Laban in a dream, "You take heed what you do to Jacob, he's mine." Genesis 31, verse 24. Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. Matter of fact, they called him the dreamer. And his brothers hated him the more. He dreamed another dream. Well, first dream he dreamed that his brothers all bowed down to him and they got mad. I mean, by the dreams of God, it became a reality. But he dreamed another dream. And in that dream, the sun and the moon bowed down to him. They got even more madder. But the Bible said in verse number 9 that his father observed that saying. The reason for that is Jacob had dreamed some dreams too. He knew this dream was of God. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Hey, Jacob here, he's running from Esau, his brother. He had a dream, a ladder of wheat. voice from the earth to heaven, angels ascending, descending on that thing. He got up and said, surely this is a house, nothing less than a house of the Lord, and raised up an altar and gave an offering on it and said, Lord, if you bring me back, you'll be my God. Amen. I want you to know God has a lot to do with dreams. I'm just getting started here. Bear with me. He'd had a heavenly dream. Genesis 28:12. Genesis chapter 40, verse 5 through 23. A butler and a baker in prison. Joseph's been sold into slavery by his brothers because they envied him, because his works were righteous and they were evil. And they sold him. He's sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to molest her, even though it was all untrue and no reason for it. Here Joseph is in prison and God's got a plan. Amen. Bless you. Here's a butler and a baker. They're real sorry. Joseph's done been exalted. He's the keeper of the prison. Brother Andy, I'm glad God does. And he just works things out. I don't know how. I mean, I can't explain him. I just seen him work things out. Things are impossible, men are possible, God. He's got Joseph in prison, but Brother Melvin, he's in an exalted position, and he's tending to the prisoners, and he comes by, and here's this butler, and here's this baker, and they're sad. And he said, why are you both so sad? They said, we're doing a dream. Man, there's some liberty here this morning. Hallelujah. It's like camp meeting. Hallelujah. So we dreamed a dream. And Joseph told him, he said, tell me your dream. He said, God's the only one that can interpret. He said, tell me your dream. I'll see if I can help you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. And they told Joseph their dreams. One of them had a good outcome. The other one didn't. One of them said, I had a dream, and in my dream, he said that I put Pharaoh's cup back in his hand, and he said, God's going to put you back in standing where you are, and you're going to give the Pharaoh his cup again. And the other one had a dream. He said, I dreamed I made a cake of pie, and he said, the birds were eating on top of my head. And Joseph said, you're going to be put back reinstated, but you're going to be beheaded, and the birds are going to eat your flesh off of you. Wasn't a good dream. I'll tell you what, that's the way dreams are. But even greater than that, Genesis 41 verse 1 said Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Now there ain't none no greater in the land than Pharaoh. But there's one greater than Pharaoh.
Yes.
Bless you, God. There's one greater than Pharaoh. And he gave Pharaoh a dream. Man, Pharaoh dreamed this dream. It didn't make no sense. And he saw 7 ears. Man, they looked good. And he saw 7 ears, and they were blasted. And the 7 that were blasted eat up the 7 good ears. Then he saw 7, I think, lean cows, and 7 real healthy cows, and the lean ate up the healthy, and it really bothered him. He didn't understand. He just said, I've had a dream, amen, and nobody could interpret the dream. He called the Chaldeans and said, tell me.
Yeah.
That butler, whichever one put the kings, I believe it's the butler, yeah. The butler said, this day I remember that me and the baker had a dream in the prison, and there's a Hebrew boy, and he told us our dreams, and it came to pass. And Pharaoh said, go get him. All of a sudden now, Joseph's dreams are starting to be fulfilled. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he told him, he said, the dreams of God. God's telling Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he tells Pharaoh what to do. And Pharaoh said, there's none wiser than you. You be the man, you take control. Put a ring on him. And he put him in this exalted position. There's none greater in the kingdom than him, than Pharaoh. And here Joseph is. And he woke up. Mary and Potiphar's born, and his wife's born, and they're bound to Joseph on top of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, I can see that in my mind's eye. I can see Potiphar curling. He said, I had him in my house. I had him in my house. I must have been a fool listening to my wife. I had him in my house. I see Potiphar's wife saying, ooh, I hope he don't look on me. I hope he don't see me. He's like throw me in prison. Just like Jesus. Mistreated, but now he's in his proper position. Man, Jesus, he's just one step below God. I mean, he's at the right hand of God. God's put all things in his hand. Pharaoh put everything in Joseph's hand. And here you got a good picture of Jesus here. And he walks out there and Pharaoh says, everybody bow the knee to Joseph.
Amen.
Amen. Now the dream's starting to come real. Oh man. Listen. His brothers did bow to him. His father also bowed to him. His mother didn't. She passed away. But his dreams were fulfilled to the T. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You got a Hebrew boy here, Daniel. You got a king, Nebuchadnezzar. He dreamed dreams that troubled him, woke him up. No one could tell him the dream. And I tell you what, there wasn't no one in the earth that could tell the king his dream. Daniel said, King, don't be so hasty. Give me some time to pray and fast. And he called upon Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and said, let's pray. God can help us. That's what you need to do when things don't make no sense. This didn't make no sense. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill him because they couldn't tell him this dream. And I tell you what, buddy, Daniel got down and prayed, and God declared unto him the dream that he gave to that king. It's found in verse 31 through 45. But look here. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and said that Daniel's God is the true God. Verses 46 through 47. I want you to know, buddy, that God does a lot of things through dreams. In Judges chapter number 7, verse 12 through 15, a man named Gideon has been told that God wants to use him to deliver His people Israel. And he's pretty much spineless. But I want you to know, through a dream, God gave him a backbone like a saw log. And boy, he rose up and he's ready. And he took them men down there, and I'll tell you what, they whooped them Midians. And I'll tell you what, buddy, whooped them no problem at all. Because he was encouraged by a dream. But let me tell you something. When I first got saved, me and my wife, we watched a movie. I asked her about it because I couldn't remember it in great detail as to where we got it. She said that she thought we'd seen it on John Hagee. We may have. We watched John Hagee a lot. But in this movie, there was a young girl, probably about 20 years old. And a messenger, a heavenly messenger, came to her. And she told him, or he told her, he said, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, he said, you're going to die. And he just vanished as soon as he told her that. Some of y'all may have seen it, I don't know. But this blonde-headed 20-year-old girl, Christina, she's having a pretty rough go of this. She's having it was bigger than her. She's watching hands on that clock. And you could almost see her dilemma. Well, she thought, is this real? Or is it not? Should I give heed to this? Or should I not? And boy, everybody come in, let's go eat. No, y'all go ahead. And they said, will you take us down and get someone else? She wouldn't leave her office. She stayed in there. She was not going nowhere, Margaret. She stayed right there, boy, watching the hands on that clock as it went around. And boy, every time you could see it was taking its toll on her. 2 o'clock came up on that clock. And you could see literally, I mean, she was afraid even to breathe. But just as soon as it went past 2 o'clock, she said, whew, man, I thought there was something to that. Christina, she stepped out of that building she worked in and walked right into the path of a coming car and was taken out. Just like it. Right on time. I had a man not too long ago tell me he had a dream. At the time, I was at a terrible loss. But I feel a little more comfortable about addressing it this morning. I had a man tell me he had a dream. He said in this dream, he said, I dreamed I was in a fight and I couldn't get out of it. He said, what do you think that means? I just said, I think it's a warning. I don't know. He told me, I said, I dreamed another dream. He said, a snake was trying to bite me and I got it. I had it in my hand, and he said to my heart, bit me on the other hand. And I said, I don't know, it sounded like a warning to me. But you know, I've been praying hard this week. Really should have made more sense at the time. It does now, but it didn't then. But you know, the devil will fight you. He's not going to let you get saved without a fight. He'll fight you tooth and nail. I remember him fighting me. Brother Melvin, I hate everybody know this, but I remember the day they gave the invitation, the devil nailed my feet to the floor and I couldn't move neither one of them. I still remember it. I still remember when Brother Rick said, won't you come? Won't you please come? And I remember, boy, they was like in cement. They was nailed to the floor. But not only will the devil fight you getting saved, I'll tell you what else he'll do. He'll kill you first opportunity he gets. I mean, but he'll take you out. I do believe those dreams were from the Lord. I believe they were sent as a message from God, not to drag your feet, but to run as fast as you can, slide in there and get a refuge for your soul, get your sins on the blood, your name in the book, get saved, because I do believe God sent a warning to those dreams. Now, I'm not nobody. If that's not true, well, you take it up with God, but I'll tell you what, as I prayed this week and sought the Lord, and I'm not a Daniel, I do know what Daniel said. He said interpretation belongs to God. And I thought, Lord, what do them dreams mean? Well, it sounds pretty conclusive that the devil will fight you. You'll be in a fight you don't want to be in. He will never quit. He will never give up. He'll fight you to the last breath.
Amen.
And also, buddy, the first chance he gets, he'll deliver a lethal blow just like Todd Eubank. I don't know. For all I know, Todd Eubank may have been ready. I hope he was. I know one thing, like that game we used to play years ago. Ready or not, here I come. Bible says, what shall thou do with the swelling of Jordan? I know what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm coming home. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Eternity's a long time spent in the wrong place. The same gracious God that saved Eddie Wade, the Bible said He'll have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. The same God that rolled out the red carpet of heaven so that I could walk up and put my name on the register of heaven. Now my name's wrote down up there in heaven. It's the same God that extends the invitation to you. Four invitations mentioned in the Bible. One is found in Proverbs chapter number 1. The Bible says, how long, you simpletons, will you dwell in simplicity and not hearken to my warning? I can't remember exactly how that is. I'd rather read it than try to misquote it. So I want to read that, Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible said, how long, you simple ones, will you dwell in your simplicity and heed not my warning? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make my words known to you. But listen to this, verse 24. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they'll not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I'll tell you right now, God's not going to wait forever. He said His Spirit wouldn't always strive with men in Genesis chapter 6. But I will tell you this, God's gracious, good, long-suffering, usward, not willing any perish, but all come to repentance. But I'll have to admit, this morning, God does deal with us. Sometimes He deals with us through dreams, but the Bible said He deals with us as sons as we get saved. But God's dealings are for our good. He's trying to help us. He's trying to heal us before death lays its claim. I'll tell you this morning, you're to think about the Lord. You're to think about His invitation. You're to think about His dealing. You're to run to Him instead of from Him. I don't know how much sand's in your hourglass. I just know one thing. When it runs out, it's out. I wished Ed Eaton had got saved. I remember when I went out to the hospital, I looked at him. I thought he'd be dead by tonight, but he lived the next day. And they said another preacher come out there and pleaded with him. He couldn't even talk. He couldn't even answer him, Melissa. Now, he could talk when I was there. But it went quick. That's why I say, there's urgency about this matter of salvation. It's something that doesn't need to be put off. It's something that needs to be done quickly.
That's right.
And I hope and pray this morning God spoke to you more so than He ever has. And if so, I pray you'll do what the Lord wants you to do, get saved. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. Lord, I thank You for the privilege to deliver this message. Lord, I believe the world needs to hear this message. And I do pray, Father, for those that are here, those that, Lord, are hear this message on the internet, that they'll realize, Lord, the urgency of eternity. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, they'd run to You. Lord, get saved. Not have to worry no more. I'm glad I don't have to worry no more. I'm glad it's well in my soul. I'm glad I heeded the warning. I'm glad I received the offer to be saved. Now, Lord, all people can do now is strip me of heaven, because that's where my eternal destiny is. But I pray, dear Father, this morning for that one here this morning that's near as hell. I pray the flames of hell lick their feet this morning to the point they realize how urgent a matter this is. And Lord, may they not end up in that dreadful place of the damned. But Lord, if they do, Lord, I've done my best. And I thank You and praise You, whatever You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Like to ask everybody be standing. Like to ask everybody to stand this morning. I hope you give the most earnest heed this morning to the thing which has been spoken. William, he pleaded. I think he said it with his brother. He told him himself. He wouldn't listen. There ain't nothing nobody can do to someone that won't listen. I'll tell you this morning, if you will listen, the Lord can help you. If you will come, He'll save you. Coming home. Come on! Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Come on this morning. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Bless You, William. Appreciate the example, brother. Now I'm coming home. Lord, I thank You for Mother William. I thank You, Father, Lord, for the great example, Lord, that He sets here before our eyes. How simple, how easy it is to walk up here to this altar. Lord, I pray, dear Father, this morning there'll be others, Lord, that will join Him, young or old. I pray, dear Father, Lord, that You make reality, Lord, real to them, Lord, that they realize, Lord, it's an urgent thing. May they come this morning. Lord, thank You, Father, for William. Thank You, Lord, dear Father, for an example. The Bible said, be an example of believer in word and deed. That's what I see in Brother William this morning. An example of believers. Blessings. Lord, I'm coming home. What about it? Won't you come this morning? What are you waiting on? Why are you waiting? Good grief. We're more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Come on this morning. Come on. Why are you waiting? Why will you linger? Why will you miss a place called heaven? Why will there be an empty seat? Why will family have the tears wiped out of their eyes? Why? Oh, coming home. Don't let the devil nail your feet to the floor. Don't let him keep you or hold you. Come on. Thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Mine own dream. I'm at home. There's still time for me. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. I need to get to that altar. I need to get it fixed today. The psalmist said my heart's fixed. It's wonderful to get it fixed up. Amen. Oh, come in home. Never more to roam. just gave you just a small scratch of the dreams in the Bible that God gave men. It's flooded with them. One covered as the other. Abraham, man, I'm telling you, just dream after dream after dream where God revealed things to men. Some heeded, some didn't. I'll tell you this morning, I love you, pray for you. Like to see you get saved. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart this morning. Give you an opportunity. What you got there, Brother Anthony?
Brendan wants to be prayed and
over
anointed.
All right. We'll be glad to do that. That's what we want to do. We want to do the Lord's work, the Lord's bidding. The Bible said if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anoint them with oil. And if they commit any sins, they'll be forgiven. The prayer of faith to raise them up. The prayer of effectual man availeth much. We want to do that this morning. All that will help me, please, this morning. We'll pray for Sister Brenda. Lord, we anoint our sister this morning on behalf of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're more than able, Lord, to heal us. You're more than able to save. Lord, you do all things well. We put Brendan your tender care by way of prayer. Lord, we want to, Lord, to obey, Father, her request. Lord, she wants, Lord, you to touch her. She wants you to help her. And Lord, by way of prayer and faith, we put her, Lord, in your tender care. And ask, dear Father, even this week, Lord, you'd call us and tell us, Lord, that, Father, you'd minister, Lord, to her needs. We pray you bless her. Bless her daughter, Jessica. Lord, what a blessing it is, Father, to have them here this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for visiting our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you, Brenda. Appreciate that so much. Amen. I like to see that's the way it's supposed to be done, according to the Word of God. That's found in James chapter 5. People understand why we do things. We do things because the Bible says do them. Amen. Anybody else got anything on your heart? God bless you, Brian. I appreciate you showing your faith this morning.
I got a question.
What you got?
Okay. Matthew and Luke give a complete difference.
It's true.
And Luke, it says
the
shepherds.
It's true. That's how you know.
They was born to you. But then they found him in the manger. But in Matthew, it does say they found him in a house. Is it two different times?
He's 2 years old when they find him in Matthew. He's born in Luke. Both accounts of those two Gospels tell about the birth of Jesus. Luke tells us the shepherds saw him wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger because he's the Lamb of God. And he's born where a lamb should be, and there were the animals. But Matthew tells us about wise men come seeking him. They've seen his star. They didn't come seeking to be born. They come seeking him because he's already been born. He's King of the Jews. That's why those four Gospels are so important. They give you four panoramic views of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The manger scenes, they don't make no sense. Shows three wise men presenting their gifts to a babe in a manger. You can take the Bible and say why they think that. I don't know. I'll just tell you this. Men need to adhere to the Bible. This movie they've got coming out about the Bible, I enjoyed it a little bit, but it ain't all Bible. And I say that for your sake, to take it with a grain of salt. Like I said about the watermelon, eat which can't spit the rest out. I've enjoyed some of it, and some of it I've certainly not enjoyed because it's far from the truth. And I don't want to elaborate on it. I might spoil it for you. Who else got anything on your heart this morning?
I love the Lord.
Amen.
You know, he said if we praise him,
that's right. Bless you, Mom. That's true.
Amen.
Bless your heart. That's right.
And when you exit out, you're
going
to be judged for yourself, not somebody else.
That's right.
For those other people, that you better start living your life right.
That's right.
That's who you are.
She said, living your life right. The Bible said, live righteous, godly, and soberly in this present world. We're supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
How much your first
light shines best in darkness, amen. It's getting dark. The hour we're living in, it's getting dark. I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually dark. When you see America embracing things like same-sex union, abortion, stuff like that right there, I want you to know it's getting dark. One reason it's getting dark, the church ain't lit up like it should be. I've got a light out right here. I'm not talking about that kind of light. I'm talking about the light of the Word of God. And I said, I wish we had more John the Baptist put a finger up there and said it's not lawful for this or that. We ain't got too much of it going on. We got too much compromising, condoning. So many people have been bought out, sold out. They would put a for sale sign out in front of the church and make it something else because it's not a church, amen. The Bible said we're the light of the earth, salt of the earth. And I'll tell you what, we need to be doing that, amen. Who else got a praise this morning? What you got, brother?
Brother Eddie, last Sunday, well, last weekend, me and one said we was going to come home.
Yeah.
And I had a friend from Montana. He said we're going to be in Atlanta. We was at Atlanta. He said, I'll go to church with him.
Amen.
So we went to Truck Stop Ministry. This place needs those prayers. They are being attacked. I reckon Muslims have seen their little chaplain out there.
Yeah.
It's a trailer. One of these years past has been pulled behind a truck, actual truck. They make it into a chapel.
Yeah.
And it's non-denominational, but they still believe in Jesus. They preach Jesus. And by the time we go to them, well, we was blessed last Sunday. And Chaplain Joe is his name. And he's the one that started it all.
Amen.
He sat down with me and Melissa and ate with us. And there was a reason for us to be down there. And then my friend got to hear about Jesus. Because my friend, he wants to question, you know, God's not an evil God. And Chaplain Joe's just put it right out there to him that you have a chance, it's like, you know, to believe and go the direction you need to. And, of course, they're for travelers, you know, not just truck drivers, but, well, they're being fought against. They need our prayers.
Amen. The Bible says, kind of not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing. I just promise you this, these Muslims, they ain't going to go away. Matter of fact, they're going to get more predominant. And they're going to get more militant. You're going to wish they would go away. I'm glad I've got a safe place, amen. If you don't know the Lord, you're not in a safe place. Maybe somebody else got a word in their heart this morning.
I've got a word here.
What you got there, brother man?
The reward's great, far greater than the cost.
I really expected to open my eyes and be in heaven. I was kind of disappointed that I wasn't. But I'm glad, praise God, one day I will behold that city that Abraham sought, that had foundation, and built America was God. What you got there, William? I didn't know if you had something on your heart or not.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I want to, Lord, great. I want to tell a little bit how this all come about. I was out in the world. I've done a lot of things. We would live down here, and I've become an alcoholic, and I 5 years, nonstop. And we moved up to Indiana, and everything's always great. So I went on, and I met this lady at a, she run a store, grocery store, and her and her daughter, one night, and she talked to me and stuff, and I talked to her, she talk about the Lord stuff, and I listen at her. So I kept on doing this thing. Now, here's the thing. God will get your attention.
Hey,
somebody's praying for you, and somebody's doing this. God's going to get your attention. So I got one night, me and my brother, we tied up and on. Well, I didn't make it home. And when God does things, He does it right. I had an accident, and me, I run over the chief of police's car. I didn't do no, you know, I get into it big time.
You said the same thing.
So, they go on, and they arrest me and take me to jail. And I had a little smart ex policeman, God bless his soul. He was, God is all in this. He ain't got no driver's license. Give him a ticket and I don't drive license. So they take me to jail, and I didn't like that place. Buddy, you and I are all nice, you can thank.
Amen.
So I get out, I have to go back to court. Judge, give me my driver's license back. He says, they can't do that. I said, well, they did, sir. He said, well, you don't even have to pay for the car. I said, I will. I said, I'll run over it. And go on. So I didn't get saved right there. Go on. And I went to church on the 8th day of December 1980. And this lady's there, preached the message. And another thing you don't want to do is go back and talk to somebody if the Lord's not in it. Because the preacher came back and talked to me. Now, I was under conviction, and I was getting angry by the minute. And this lady's sitting there. If she hadn't got up and turned around, I might not have said, if she got up and turned around, and I whipped it like a little kid. She laid her head on my shoulder.
Bless you.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
And I got saved by the grace of God. And that's the reason I like this song, Grace and Grace.
Hallelujah.
And then here I was, and I worked these hard heads at work. And we done things that shouldn't have done at work. It shouldn't have happened. And here I was, a foreman over. Now I gotta go back to work. And I don't understand all this. I don't understand how I'm gonna tell everything. So I asked the Lord. And I didn't even tell them. I didn't say nothing to them. But believe me, and the first night they know the difference. And when I was there a week, them boys, I don't know what they're gonna say, but they changed. They were different. And the Lord can save anybody. God is big. You know, God is big as you like to be. Whatever size God you want, that's what you got.
I'm gonna say the heavenly heaven can't
you got God this size. My God controls the whole world.
Yeah. God bless you, Brother Wim. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I like that. Amen. I've been there. I went to work, but I got saved. And it was a little awkward for a little while. Them guys, oh, what's wrong with Eddie? He ain't cursing like he was. He ain't doing like he was. Makes a difference, amen. Yeah, maybe somebody else got a word. I'm not in a hurry. If you are, you need to leave, you go ahead. Man, I tell you what, I'm starting to feel a little something here. Maybe somebody else got something on their heart.
All
right. Amen. Bless you, Sister Carolyn. What you got, Margaret? Oh, okay.
Sometimes weeks are just hard on you.
Bless.
With her, me feeling bad, her feeling bad, everything coming in, this and that. Mr. Moore and I was washing dishes, and I was just dating. And I thought, Lord, you just got to pick me up, lift me up, and take care of me. And I thought, first thing I'm going to do is go in the bedroom, I'm going to pray.
Bless
I
your heart.
Down that side of the bed, and tears just
rolled. Heaven!
But I couldn't pray. First thing he done, he said, go sit and read.
That's
I
good.
Was so tired. I was just so tired.
Yeah.
He said, go sit and read. And I read in Jeremiah where he tried to get the people to go back to Judah. They didn't want to go. They wanted to go to Egypt. He said, don't go to Egypt. And when he went to Egypt, God put a big bunch of rocks there. And he said, they'll have to come through there, you know, and they'll be killed. And he told Jeremiah to tell the people that. But you know, if we don't lead the wreck and guide our paths in the straight way, there's trouble
ahead.
And they must have been trouble ahead if I had to bow my heart in that right time.
Bless you, Carolyn.
Because I felt so good after that. The rest of the day was just peace.
Amen.
I might have said something. I might have done something.
Bless you, Carolyn.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing that with us, boy. I thought you was done a while ago. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
We all have weeks that
you're
part of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm there right now. I stay there, I think. But I tell you what, even in those hardships, like she said, the Lord's with you. He told her what to do, and she did it. The Lord may be telling you something to do. Have you done it? And I appreciate her saying, she said, I did it. He told me, go get my Bible and read it, and she didn't have to do that, but when she did it, Lord helped her.
I was tired. He said, go sit and read. That's the only, that was just it. There was
right
there in front of me. Go sit and read.
Heaven. Heaven. We're starting to have a little church here this morning. I like it. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. What you got, Margaret?
I appreciate the message. I love the rings, and I believe in the rings. And I've had a bunch of them. I had one in particular. The reason I was here today, I know it is.
Amen.
Mike had been dead about 3 years. There's things that you told me. I couldn't take it no longer. I prayed. It like every time I turned around, somebody was getting on me for something or just something. Started going to bed that night and I told Mark, I'm done. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm just not going to try no more. I'm done. And Mike came to me like 3 years old. He walked in the bedroom right beside my bed and he said, come on, Mama, come on, come on. And he took off my hand. Next morning when I got up, my hand was still warm, where he had helped my hand tell me to come on. By the time I get discouraged with this heart, I'll have to go back to that dream. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mama, I've got to go on so I can see the
head. Amen, Sister Margaret.
But I do love dreams.
Amen.
Yes.
I tell you what, I've sat down at the table with my father. It was in a dream. But I thank the Lord for it. I remember talking with him, asking him questions, and he answered them. And I thank God for dreams. I've had a lot of good dreams. I've had a lot of dreams I didn't want to dream. I know where they came from. I don't know if it's certain folders or not, but I'll let it go like this. I heard anybody's got anything on your heart. Give you an opportunity to say it. If not, we'll be dismissed.
One other thing. One of your servants was really grow just as something.
Yeah.
Somebody
doesn't look this time. That's right. Most of the songs written in the Bible, like Brother Nevins said, they know what they're talking about. They come from experiences, from deep valleys and great victories and things that a lot of people would give up, and they didn't, and they made it through it, and their song went along with it. Amen. One lady gave the words of the song, God Walks the Dark Hills, and nobody had ever sung it. She actually paid people money just to sing that song. But listen, what a song. God Walks the Dark Hills. Are we done this morning? I certainly say that was extreme caution. Yeah. Yeah. I hate to even dismiss a service like this. When I say I hate to dismiss, I'd rather it linger throughout the day. Just shake somebody's hand. If it works out where you can, I hope it does. Come back tonight and we'll pick up right here. Where we're at right now.
It
doesn't
matter if people get saved here,
Dave. Yeah.
You don't give up on them.
That's true. I've done my part. I'm just a messenger boy, but I did deliver the message of God. And a preacher can only say what I'm saying right here. But we all need to do our part. I delivered God's message. I'm just as, I guess, just as guilty as all as to this message. We all need to obey from our heart. Things of God.
You know, sometimes we've got to be deceived. And I've heard this.
Right. Heaven. Bless you, Molly.
I will know my life no other way. And time is running. I can feel I can feel his return so strong.
You're so right. She said time's running. I mean, this coming week's Passover. I would want everybody to know how foolish I am, but I certainly believe I'm leaving out this week. I certainly believe I am. You can read the Song of Solomon, and you can tell that God's coming for the church in the spring. Don't quench my vision. Don't quench my dream. I certainly believe I'm leaving this week. I believe the Lord's got me this far for such a time as this. Just come get me home. Amen. God bless you, Mom. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
And this land is so wide now. It's not hidden at all.
Now they're not ashamed of sin no more. They lost
God,
the blood.
God is no liar. He's coming back. He's cleaning his vessel.
You better believe it.
And I love him like I said. I want to live my life. No other way. If you know, if he just died for me.
Bless you.
I'm going there.
That's right.
I'm going there.
Amen.
But the thing of it is,
he died for us all. Made room for us all.
And he's not
going to make you serve
him. It's up to you.
Sure.
I don't want my life no other way. No other way.
Amen. That's the spirit here this morning.
The whole family said, I believe he's coming back like he said.
Yeah, coming back like he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, Brother Melvin. Y'all come back tonight. I mean, even if you don't get saved here this morning, get saved today. I'm like Molly, I feel the urgency of the hour. There's no denying it.